News Weekly is an ad-free listener-supported podcast made possible by listeners like you. Just go to patreon.com/Sammy Shah to support the podcast. Top stories of the week. Albanese Prime Minister explains to women. And the defamation in Hanson's Nation. All that and more on News Weekly. Hello and welcome to News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly. The worse things get, the more things stay the same. News now. Look, there's no way for me to make this satirical, so I'm not going to do that. Because the number is so large, it doesn't actually make sense. The number I'm talking about is that every 4 days, a woman in Australia is being violently killed. Not physically assaulted, killed. From that assault, which means at the current rate, at the end of this year alone, 91 women would have been murdered. That's not even counting things that aren't as final as murder, like sexual violence, which 1 in 5 women experience from the age of 15 onwards, or physical violence, which goes up to 1 in 3 from the age of 15 onwards. If Islamic extremists were killing one Australian every 4 days this entire year, you can imagine the kind of reaction that would provoke from all corners of government. But the deaths of women have just become the background noise against which we live our lives. Which is why this week saw an attempt to raise the volume on that noise with marches and rallies across the country.
Enough is enough.
We won't take it anymore!
Sydney taking a stand to stamp out violence against women.
Men's violence has to go!
Thousands of people joined similar rallies nationwide, united in a call for the government to do something tangible to address this issue. Especially since the last time similar women's marches took place was during the Morrison government, where the only support women got was a reminder of what they should be grateful for.
Not far from here, such marches, even now, are being met with bullets.
For Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, then, the task was easy. Just don't insult any women. Don't make this about yourself. Don't do anything other than perhaps support the women in the most considerate way possible. How hard can that be?
But first tonight, the Prime Minister is under pressure in the wake of an ugly confrontation at an anti-violence against women march in Canberra.
It's like the movie The Fly, where instead of a man that gets crossed with a fly, he's Kevin Rudd crossed with Scott Morrison.
But there was some anger directed towards Anthony Albanese from the crowd in Canberra, and then confusion over whether he'd speak.
To be clear, we did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and were told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organisers' right to do that.
That's a full-out lie.
The organiser, Sarah Williams, a victim survivor, later posted, for him to not only demand he speak because he was being heckled, but lie was disgraceful.
There's even footage of him telling the organiser, quote, "Do you want me to speak or not? I am the Prime Minister," end quote. Which, you know, as my old HR manager used to say, if you have to remind people of your job title, then you're not doing a very good job. So, after managing to offend thousands of women and making the organiser cry after she had just told her own story of surviving violent abuse, then ignoring her crying, the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, realised it was time to roll out some important and much-needed government support and reform. Everyone hoped it would be some of the practical measures that had been repeatedly asked for by various studies into this program, reiterated here by criminologist and former New South Wales police detective Vincent Hurley on Q&A, a TV show that invites panelists to contribute simplistic solutions to complex problems, especially if they can do it within the parameters of, "I know I am, but what are you?"
There's enough legislation there for police to go and arrest them. New South Wales police have had a pro-arrest policy for at least 30 years, and we cannot arrest our way out of this. But for the immediate concern of the women here, they need to have that offender taken off the street to give them breathing space to get away to a women's refuge. Over the decades, all governments of all persuasions, state and federal, you have patient dumped people with mental health and drug issues onto the street, which are the underlying causes of domestic violence. And I know, because I've read 1,362 coroner's reports in New South Wales over the last 20 years, and that is the common element. So you talk about domestic violence. It is more than just domestic violence. Mm-hmm. You don't need a Royal Commission. That money needs to go into frontline services now.
So what did the government announce?
The government will spend $6 million to trial age assurance technology to try to stop children being exposed to damaging and misogynistic material. It'll also legislate to ban the digital creation and non-consensual distribution of deepfake pornography. What didn't come out of the meeting were legal reforms.
Great. So no more kids accessing porn until kids figure out how to bypass that system 2 seconds after it's launched. And again, while young people watching violent porn definitely will contribute to the violence against women in the future, the median age for family and domestic violence committing men is 34 years old. Those are men who can access that porn anytime they want because they're old enough. So it won't prevent them or any other male of adult age from being influenced if that was the primary cause of violence against women at all. Porn websites are blocked entirely in Pakistan, and I can tell you right now, I didn't leave the country after my daughter was born because I was worried she'd have too much peace and freedom to handle. At least there was one practical announcement.
There'll be $925 million over 5 years for the Leaving Violence program that'll start mid-next year. As part of that, payments of up to $5,000 will be available to women needing to escape. The program has been running as a trial and will now become permanent.
So that's good. Except the program isn't new. It was started in 2021 under the previous government, and a government review of the pilot had found that more than half of the applicants were unsuccessful in securing the payment. Oh, and it won't be available for applications until July 2025, so if you need the money urgently, that's not an option. But don't worry, the government has fixed it by changing the name from Escaping to Leaving, so at least some of the money will go towards new letterheads and stationery logos. And if you want further proof the programs announced by the Albanese government are bad, here's the opposition condemning them with praise.
Well, the opposition was complimentary.
The Prime Minister's commitment to put more funding into the programs that are working, I think is something that we should support.
If they were working, we wouldn't see more violence. That's not what working means. Is there a pro-violence against women lobby active in Canberra? You know what? I'm going to give the last word to Vincent Hurley on Q&A again.
How dare you? How dare you go into politics in an environment like this when one woman is murdered every 4 days and all you two can do is immediately talk about politics? That is just disgraceful. Is it any wonder frontline services aren't getting the money that they want? You can talk about putting out billions of dollars. AUKUS cost $300 billion. Do you think the federal government could spare a couple of billion dollars, even $1 million, for the pastor here at the Wayside Chapel? Mm. No, you couldn't. You made the comment we need to listen more. For God's sake, how long do we have to listen to politicians like you and the rest of you high-horsing about...
It's not two sides, it's just a donut news now. Physicists have long wondered what would happen when an immovable object meets an unstoppable force. Or in layman's terms, when Hulk runs up against Juggernaut. Hulk gets stronger the angrier he gets, but Juggernaut is powered by the Gem of Sidorak, which defies science. Well, now both physicists and comic fans can see the real-world version of their battle of opposites play out.
A defamation trial between Deputy Greens leader Marine Faruqi and One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has begun, with Australia's hate speech laws expected to be put to the test.
This is the political equivalent of the rumble in the jungle, the thriller in Manila. It's the error in Canberra, the racism in the casism. Look, I was never good at rhyming, okay? Now, whether or not Pauline Hanson is actually racist is something Australians have been debating for a long time. White Australians. I mean, everyone else knows she's hugely fucking racist, but we don't have to pretend she isn't because she says the same things your dad says after he gets on the beers. And if she's racist, then is your dad racist? Yes, the answer is yes. He or dad is also racist, as is Pauline Hanson.
If you're not happy here, then go back where you want to come from.
She said she wouldn't sell her house to a Muslim person.
Because I don't believe that they're compatible with our way of life.
Made this comment about Islam.
Islam is a disease. We need to vaccinate ourselves against that.
And 2 weeks ago...
We have Muslims in this country marrying, getting on our welfare system, breeding, and we are paying for all this.
I know some of you are saying yes, but Muslim isn't a race. And to that I say yes, it isn't, but I don't think Pauline Hanson knows that. This latest fight between the two most exhausting grandstanders in Australian politics began when Queen Elizabeth died.
When Senator Faruqi tweeted she could not mourn a woman who had led an empire built on stolen lives, Senator Hanson tweeted back that Senator Faruqi should pack her bags and piss off back to Pakistan.
Green Senator, professional virtue signaller and real estate mogul Meereen Faruqi then alleges...
The Greens' deputy leader says Pauline Hanson has breached the Racial Discrimination Act. She's seeking $150,000 in damages to be paid to charity. But as Senator Faruqi took the stand, Pauline Hanson's lawyer was ready to strike. Senator Faruqi, who's been prominent at pro-Palestinian rallies, conceded under cross-examination she has made statements that may have offended others, though she says that is not her purpose. Sue Chrysanthou for Pauline Hanson says she'll be putting to Senator Faruqi that she is a hypocrite and she's only against certain forms of racism.
Sue Chrysanthou, who is representing Pauline Hanson, has recently also represented Christian Porter, Lisa Wilkinson and Benjamin Cohen, the Jewish man falsely accused of the Bondi Junction stabbing by Channel 7. Basically, if you stand in front of a mirror and say defamation three times, Sue Chrysanthou will appear to represent you. So, with a lawyer of that stature representing her, Pauline Hanson must have an airtight defence.
But the One Nation leader insisted she didn't know Senator Faruqi's religion.
There we go. She knew she was from Pakistan, but didn't know she was a Muslim. Which means she probably doesn't even know what a Muslim is. On that note, I'm going to leave you with Penny Wong's statement after Pauline Hanson's tweet, which I think is more sensible than either of the people involved in this case.
But I do want to say to start with that I condemn Senator Hanson's comments without reservation. I think they're appalling. And they're comments that have been levelled at me countless times since I arrived in this country. I remember getting them when I was a kid in the schoolyard. And I've got them since. So they're not just the pathetic hecklings of a schoolyard bully. They are, as Senator Faruqi rightly said, something you say to delegitimise someone's right to speak. And I don't know what drives it. Perhaps it's the fear of anything different races, different ethnicities, different opinions. But can I say to Senator Faruqi, we on this side do understand your grievance of this comment and we understand why you are calling out such behaviour. And I pick up something that Senator Faruqi said in her contribution about how triggering this is. It's true, it is. It is triggering each time you hear it. I'm the Senate leader. I still get triggered. And I wonder how it is for kids in the schoolyard who get the same thing.
That's it for this week's edition of News Weekly. If you like the podcast, please head over to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review, or join my Patreon. That's patreon.com/SammyShah. That's SammyShah. Otherwise, I'll see you right back here next week on News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly.